The kids with Riz, I don't know if you saw that the word of the year is Riz. I use that word inappropriately, apparently, my children said.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. Thanks for downloading the show. My name is Eric. I'm your host. I'm here with my co-host, Nicole. We're going to talk about electronic recycling, clothes recycling, and air fryers. Welcome, Nicole.
I mean, more eclectic, it could not be.
Right. It's the eclectic DIY show. I forgot to say that part in the beginning. So, yeah, it's December.
Can you believe that? I feel like an NPR podcast on Saturday Night Live.
Yes. I have been, basically, long story short, we have been talking here on the show with you specifically about gas ovens, and gas ovens in your home aren't a great idea anymore because essentially methane is being leaked into your home. And so my gas stove, the oven, has been broken since the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh my God.
Because I don't.
You didn't get any bread during the pandemic, or what did you do?
I know I did not make bread during the pandemic. I tried not to gain as much weight as I did.
Huh, okay.
But I had to make an apple pie for a group Thanksgiving the other day. And I'm like, okay, I had bought the part like 3 years ago and it was sitting in a drawer. Basically, the igniter that starts up the oven burner wasn't working. It's the thing that clicks and heats up and then lights the gas. The broiler would work, so I could like broil fish or something. But the baking part didn't work. So it took all of 3 minutes. And I know I did not make a video because I actually wanted to get it done rather than making a video. My dishwasher is broken. We could talk about that as well. But but it got me to thinking, I'm using this giant metal box to heat up this smaller thing. And I've been thinking about an air fryer anyway. I bought a basket type, but the plastic started to melt inside the housing.
Already?
I think it was just a defect in the manufacturer. So I sent it back and I never got another one. But it's only me and the camera operator, and we eat a ton of vegetables. We are a vegetable-centric family. And I would like to not necessarily have to saute them in a bunch of oil on the fry pan. And everyone says, oh, the air fryer, you spray a little oil on them and they come out as magic, you know? And I'd like to have carrots cooked.
Cooked carrots.
So we have a group of supporters called the Patrons for the YouTube channel and the podcast here. It's run through Patreon. And there's an app, a companion app that goes along with that, where we can have discussions. And I asked on the discussion area what people thought about air fryers, the toaster oven type versus the basket type. And it was about 50-50.
Oh, really? Interesting.
So, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, I don't. Have I talked about Darth Vader on here before?
You mentioned that in the patron talk, in
yes,
the discussion.
So years ago, my husband just went rogue, and like an extra, extra large air fryer showed up at our house. It was black. Our kitchen colors are seafoam green and white, Eric. And a little yellow accent. So Darth Vader was this gigantic appliance that was like taking up our entire kitchen because we have a small kitchen. And so I kind of was a little negative about the air fryer. I only used it once. Then I was like, this isn't a thing for us. And I put it away. And once we hadn't used it for a year, I sold it on the group thing. Now, my aunt and uncle, which I did post in the Patreon, they have the Kosori, C-O-S-O-R-I, Kosori, small air fryer. And I'm very interested in that because the footprint is much smaller and it's seafoam green. It comes in seafoam green. And they love it. Now, you know, we're a toaster oven. We have that fancy toaster oven that we got during the pandemic.
Yeah, but I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be enough for your vegetable making, though. Because it just doesn't make, like, the square foot, like the difference between the oven and my little baby toaster is not, you know, that's not, I don't think you'd make enough vegetables that way.
My impression is that the air fryer that's an oversized toaster oven will make a larger amount of food than the basket type air fryer will.
Oh, interesting.
And there were I'll just read some of the comments. Actually, the original Garden Fork co-host Mike, Radio Mike, who actually emailed me the other day, he said, "We have a Philips basket type and love it. I thought it would be another niche appliance that got stuffed in the cabinet and rarely used, but it turns out we use it more than our microwave."
Huh. Well, you know, my Germans will not own a microwave. I don't know any German that owns a microwave.
Wow, I love my microwave.
That's what I said. I was like, what if you have to heat up some water? They're like, there's this thing called the stove. Oh, but just quickly, before we go down too far, this path about our toaster oven, and, well, I guess we're already down the path, but I just wanted to say DC has a program where they'll come and test how much methane you're releasing now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're coming next week to see how much our stove releases.
Our gas utility sent us a letter a while ago saying they had to come inspect the gas lines in our house. You know, it's a two-family house. And I'm like, uh-oh, you know, what are they going to look for here? But it ends up the guy came and he just had I call it a sniffer, but it's some sort of electronic device that detects the methane. And he just worked around the gas meter itself and the main pipe that fed, you know, the ovens and stuff. He said, because mine is all, the basement's finished and everything's very clean. He goes, oh, this is perfect. I just need to work right here. I thought he was going to do the whole house, but they said most of the methane leaks, at least in Brooklyn, are around the meter.
Oh, that makes sense, right? Well, so did you have a leak?
No, I passed with flying colors.
Okay.
So good. That's good. But I'm still on track. My goal is to not have any cooking gas in the house.
Right.
Scott, who is Scott, our agronomist, who is in Western Canada, he says, we got the Pamper Chef one and are loving it. It has two trays and also a tumbler basket, which is great for things like fries. The tumbler worked perfectly on low temp, 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Uh-huh. Low temp dehydration mode for herbs. I also got the extra trays for fruit leathers, and it worked great for them too. Huh. Oh, and there's
The Pampered Chef stuff, while it is an MLM, their products all seem to be pretty quality.
He says it also does a great rotisserie chicken.
Oh.
Amy said, we have the toaster oven type, but I've used them both, and I think the basket type gets things crisper. Also, I love the space-saving part of the toaster oven kind. That's the appeal to me. And the idea that I could throw two pieces of salmon in a toaster oven and broil them instead of having to fire up the big oven, you know?
Well, and that's what my aunt and uncle do with this, with theirs. They put in a couple chicken breasts or a couple pieces of salmon. And then, like, I think you can also get, like you said, the different layers. So you can put your vegetables on top and your meat on bottom.
Neat. Then Paul wrote, I have the Instant Pot air fryer, the basket type. I love it. And found 8-inch by 8-inch pans at Dollar Tree that fit neatly in the basket for baking things like brownies and cornbread.
Oh, that's cute.
That's dangerous.
Well, with my little baby toaster, I did go all in with the baby pans for it because I wanted to be able to bake stuff in there.
I have heard comments about the toaster oven type being a little harder to clean.
Yes.
But I just thought, well, I have an air compressor, you know. Just take it out in the yard and hit it with the air compressor.
Here we go.
The equipment testers at America's Test Kitchen have several videos about toaster oven versus air fryer basket type. And I really like them. They have a really fun energy. And they just do this deep, geeky dive on it. So I really enjoy that.
I love that. We used to watch that show religiously back in the day when we watched PBS.
I'm leaning toward the toaster oven style. I'm going to buy one in the spring. Right now, we are just de-accessorizing and getting rid of all sorts of stuff, which segues into our next topic. Hey, real quick, one easy way to support Garden Fork is if you're going to shop online and use Amazon, please use the link to our storefront. The link is in the show notes here. If you click on that, it'll open it up in your web browser. If you're on a laptop or desktop, it will open it up into your app, ideally if you're using the Amazon mobile app. Please shop locally. I go to my local hardware store first. If I can't find it there, then I go to the orange or blue store. If I can't find it there, then I order it online. So if you are shopping online, use our Amazon link, amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you.
Okay, so the recycling. This is some good stuff. Now, you had sent me a message showing about mail-in electronics recycling.
Yeah.
Which DC, again, has like a regular electronic recycling system. So once a month, you can go and drop off your e-waste at the transfer station. And it's like a drive-through situation, and they've, you know, got flaggers. Do you have a printer? Do you have a TV? Do you have cables? Do you have a computer? You know, like, and it's free, which is great. But you have to remember, like, the first Saturday of every month. You know, you have to remember that Saturday. So we just keep a bag of batteries to be recycled, you know, that kind of stuff that's kind of in ready waiting for the moment we remember Saturday morning.
Oh, that's good to know. There are a lot of places that don't. New York City used to have a nonprofit that did it, but I think they closed down. Upstate, next to the town garage, the town, you know, road maintenance garage, there is a container, and you can put in TVs and air conditioners and things like that.
Oh.
But I don't know. Like, I have two old stereos from the pre MP3 player days, the big, like, you would have a rack of, you had your preamp and your amplifier and your turntable. And I got them from my parents and from a buddy, and they're really nice, but they pull a lot of power and they're big and heavy. They collect dust, and I don't need them. And I hate to throw it just in the trash because there's a lot of metal. There's a lot of stuff in there that could be reused, but electronic recycling is difficult at best sometimes. So I'm going to ask the guys at my town garage, I mean, can I put the stereo amplifier in the recycling container or not? I mean, you can't really give them away because everyone over 40 already has two or three of them in their closet, you know?
I don't know. I mean, the kids these days, they're kind of into that.
Oh, I don't have kids, so I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, the kids with Riz. I don't know if you saw that the word of the year is Riz.
Yes.
I use that word inappropriately, apparently, my children said. However, I do think that there's some, like, nostalgia factor. Like, you might be able to get rid of them.
Well, there is a movement back to turntables and, you know, pressed albums.
Yeah, I got one of those for Christmas for some member of our family.
Oh, nice.
So I'm looking here at the portal for 301 New York City.
Of course
City residents have several options to dispose of e-waste. You can donate them if working. Enroll your apartment building to get pickup through the E-Cycle New York City. So if your building has more than 10 people or more than 10 units, they have this E-Cycle New York City. And then it says there's or you can bring them to a drop-off location.
Oh, I did not know this.
So and then the final option is to return them to the manufacturer or retailer for recycling. And I do know a lot of printer cartridges do that. When I lived in Germany, I was researching German environmentalism and why Germans are more environmentally friendly, behave in a more environmentally friendly manner than Americans do. And one thing they have is supply side recycling. And so I don't know if when you were in Europe, a lot of the things have this green dot on them with two arrows that kind of feed back and forth to each other. You've probably seen them on American products that are sold in Europe. But the idea is that the company that produces an item is responsible for recycling that item. And so you're a deodorant. Somebody's got to recycle it. So, you know, it doesn't come in a lot of plastic packaging because the companies have to recycle that plastic packaging. So the way they've gotten around, like, going back and picking everything up is they have companies that they pay that buy it all back and sort it all. And it's a whole ecosystem. But that does reduce the amount of waste produced by companies. So, you know, you go to Costco and you can see these pallets with, like, all this paper and all this, and, you know, like, you don't get deodorant in a box,
right?
In Germany, it's just the deodorant. And I mean, to some extent, you have seen the amount of waste in products go down in America. But I think that's interesting. I wish we did more of that. It's like the bottle return.
Yes. Yeah, we do have deposit bottles and cans here, and there's a whole, I don't know if the word is underground industry around that. But
infrastructure. Yeah.
There are some people that they can't get a work permit here, so they collect cans and bottles, and they have a grocery cart overloaded with cans, and they go down to Third Avenue and do that. That's interesting about the e-waste in New York. So I'll have to, because there used to be, I can't remember what the place was called. It was on the Gowanus Canal, and they would recycle electronics. Some of the electronics they would keep because they had as a subsidiary or a side hustle a electronics stock shop for TVs, TV shows and movies that needed period electronics. You know, like if you needed a bunch of 80s desktop computers for an office, they would rent them to the production company to use in their TV show, which was brilliant.
It is brilliant. Otis has been obsessed with making film noir videos. And he needed a better telephone to do it. So I was at Goodwill, and they didn't have a rotary one, but they had like an old school phone with the push buttons, you know? Yep. He was super excited about that.
I love that. So, all right. But what I'll link to it in the show notes here, but there is a site called greencitizen.com that will take your electronic waste. There is waste that they'll take for free, and then there's waste that they will charge you for by the pound. You measure the waste by the pound, you know, and pay, I guess you do it like an e-payment or something, and then you ship it to them. And if the electronics need to be, the data needs to be destroyed, they will do that. So I have a bunch of hard drives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I don't really know what's on these. I don't know if I can wipe them all.
Right.
And you could send them to them. They will wipe them, and they'll also recycle it to the as best that can be done. And that's called greencitizen.com.
Now, have you actually tried it yet?
No, I found it the other day, and I put it in my I use Apple Notes for almost everything. I just throw it in there.
Yeah, me too.
I have a GF radio, a Garden Fork radio ideas note, and it's about 300 pages long of stuff. And I was scrolling through there this morning as I was sitting in the little cafe with my decaf Americano for topics for us to talk about. And I was like, oh, let's talk about that one.
Excuse me. Well, so I'd be interested if any Patreons or any listeners have tried that kind of thing. Because I did. I figured out how to recycle almost everything except for clothing. That's kind of because if it has a hole in it, you can't really take it to Goodwill or, you know, I feel like that's rude to take it to Goodwill.
Yep.
Or socks with holes or whatever. Underwear with holes. So the take back bag is something that I came across. I don't know. It was probably an Instagram thing. So I ordered, you buy the bag. The bag's $20. And then it's free to ship back, and it's big. It's really big. I probably put like, I don't know, a lot of pounds of stuff in there. So I put old rags in, I put socks in. I asked, you know, my friends if they had anything that wanted to go. Oh, because during the pandemic, after the cloth masks were not a thing, I had a ton of cloth masks and I didn't really know what to do with them. This lady online in the neighborhood was like, well, you can put them in my take back bag. And I was like, oh, that's great. So you get 20, you get like, I'm not really understanding how the system works, because apparently I have like a credit at their shopping arm.
Yes.
Where I can go and buy washcloths that are reusable, or, I mean, they have clothes too. I don't totally understand that aspect, but I was just happy to have the socks being recycled.
And it looks like a heavy-duty vinyl plastic bag. It's 24 inches by 24 inches and fits 15 pounds of clothing. And they're saying here that every take-back bag diverts up to 15 pounds of fashion waste from landfills. Did you know the average U.S. consumer throws away over 80 pounds of clothing waste per year?
No. That's a lot.
That's a lot. I don't throw away. Well, I would just wear Carhartts, and then when they get holes in them, I just sew the holes shut. So
you're not creating any waste.
No. Well, I am in a way. I've discovered that Carhartt, I am a medium instead of a large now.
Okay.
Because the large shirts are being made larger.
Oh, size inflation.
Yeah, because Americans are getting larger. And I confirmed this at Dave's Army Navy, which is a big Carhartt dealer in Manhattan. And they're like, yeah. So I bought some large size Carhartt t-shirts online from, this is a site called dungarees.com. They're in St. Charles, Missouri, which is outside of St. Louis. I've been to their store.
Uh-huh.
And so I ordered large Carhartts, and then I throw them on the shelf and I forget about them. And then 6 months later, I open the package and I'm like, oh, this is really too big on me. And so I can't return it after 6 months, and I've already opened the bag. So I gave them away to a friend of mine.
Well, another option along these lines of recycling is Poshmark, which is an online marketplace for predominantly clothing. So that's where I buy most of my clothes now, and the boys' clothes, if you know, I don't get them at the thrift. Normally, it's mostly used stuff, but there is stuff that's new without tags. So you have to know what size you want from Poshmark because it's a flat rate shipping. Mm-hmm. But then there's also there's another one, ThredUp, and that is you can return things to. And they say it's the world's largest online thrift store. Their prices are, I would say, less. I don't find as much stuff there, but I have friends who that's the only place they shop. And then that reminded me of one other app that was like one of the app of the years. Year's best app. I don't know. It's called Too Good To Go. And what it is companies when they have like extra baked good or extra food at the end of the day or at predetermined times during the day, you can order a bag of the Too Good To Go stuff for like $5. And they give you a bunch of pastries or they give you a bunch of fruits and vegetables that they think are going to go bad or, they've got some leftover dinners. But it's kind of fun. And it's a grab bag. You don't know what you're going to get.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's really fun. I'm sure they're all over there. It's the kind of app that I'll download, I'll enjoy, and then I'll be like, oh no. No, no, no. We need to back off this. And then I kind of do that over and over. That Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, will you click your mouse into the Squadcast window?
I thought it was.
Oh, there you go. It's back.
All right. Okay. Weird.
That happens. I do it all the time. So Poshmark, it says here, buy, sell, and discover fashion, home decor, beauty, and more. Neat. And one of the most searched brands is my favorite, Lululemon Athletica.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I wear Lululemon Athletica yoga clothing all the time.
Well, you could also have sold your Carhartt shirts there.
Well, I still have one. So I bet the distressed Carhartt pants, my pants that have been crawling around in gravel for 10 years, are probably distressed enough that they could fetch hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, no, they would be totally a thing. Well, if you want to post things there, it's pretty easy to set it up. You can use your phone to take the pictures and whatever. A better picture is better sales. But I just noodle around and figure out how much people are selling them for. If it's something I want to get rid of quick, like, priced a couple dollars less and it'll sell pretty quick. During the pandemic, I sold a lot of stuff and then now I just buy stuff because I got rid of everything. That's a joke. That's a joke.
I know. There's also just regular old eBay,
Yeah, there is eBay. I got scammed on eBay. Or something. I had something go sideways and like now it just has a bad taste in my mouth. But yeah, the eBay is good. I got scammed on Facebook Marketplace recently.
Ooh.
Which I thought it was a safer place to buy and sell because you have your profile there. Yep. And I don't think people are using Craigslist as much. I think they use Facebook Marketplace more. But I didn't click through to make sure the person was a real person. And so I actually went and got the goods, the boys' Xbox 360, which is a ancient technology now, but they have it and they love it and it's old and it died. So somebody was selling one with a bunch of controllers and games for $60. So like I went and met her and she had assured me that it worked, but it did not. The actual machine didn't work. But I wasn't out the total $60 because I did get the games and the controllers, so I could like. But what was weird was I like went to like message her that like I couldn't get it to work and her profile was gone. It was all gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Darn. Sorry about that.
Eh, whatever.
Well, I mean, we could still. I was going to say you could probably buy an air fryer, a toaster of an air fryer, legitimately, but that was a bad joke that didn't land.
I have been watching for my aunt and uncle's one to see if somebody's selling because, yeah, people are moving or whatever.
It's kind of funny because I am not a big fan of Facebook. I'm on there a little bit just to check in the Garden Fork stuff, but more and more of my friends are selling there. I have a Craftsman table saw from the 1950s. It has a cast iron. It's a cast iron tabletop, so it's wicked straight and level.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no real resale market for that. So in the county I live in, it's Litchfield County. There's a Facebook group that says, you know, Litchfield County buy and sell.
Yes.
And I'm just going to take a picture of it and, you know, $10 or something. I live in the way north, the top of the county, so it's quite a drive for most people to come up where we are. But I just would be happy to have somebody use it. It doesn't have any safety stuff on it. That's the you know, you can cut your finger off with it.
Right. It's not a – well, we have a couple – we have on – that's what I'm using Facebook for too, is this kind of transactional situation. But we have local, hyper-local buy-sell groups for, like, our neighborhoods.
Yep.
And then all free hyper-local spots, too, where, like, you just want to get rid of something, you post it up there. And then there's a offshoot of that because I guess people were offering to buy things that were on the free, and that's against the ethos of the free group. So somebody got kicked out of that group.
Oh, interesting.
And started a new one that's called Take My...
Stuff.
Take My Stuff. Explicative. And that's actually quite funny because the people have a sense of humor about what they're giving away. Like, and I do also give, like, I've got two strings of Christmas lights. They plug in, they're fine. There's one missing, one's broken, and I'm not going to sit there and go through them. But maybe you could use the lights for, you know, spares.
Wow. You know?
And so you could not.
Yeah, there are different gizmos to repair Christmas lights, and I tried to do it, and I gave up in frustration. So,
yeah. So I just, you know, I can give that away to somebody who has more patience than I do.
Well, cool. All right. So Nicole and I are going to stick around and do the after show for the patrons. But if you guys have some suggestions, what are your thoughts on the air fryers? What are your thoughts on getting rid of stuff in a way that you can, your conscience allows you to? The best eco-friendly way, I guess, is the word there. Or if you use the take-back bag or Poshmark, it'd be interesting to hear from you. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. Anything else, Nicole?
No, that's it. Thanks so much.
All right, we're going to talk about my new Apple Watch in the after show. If you're interested in becoming a supporter of the show, I ask for a cup of coffee a month. I just do a brain dump every other day on the app, and you get these emails in your inbox or on the app with some random thought or picture of Eric, and that's very interesting, I think.
I love it. I mean, I love seeing the dogs.
You know, all right, everyone.
Good times.
Go out and do cool stuff and make it a great day, and thank you again for listening. We'll see you. Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media, LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goose. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.